Welcome everyone to another episode of the Noisecast. We have been away for about 2 weeks, give or take. And in those 2 weeks or so, apparently the world decided to go to hell in a handbasket. But we're still here. As always, I'm your host, Alberto, and with me I have Paul. Paul, say hello to everyone.
Hey everyone. And also, I keep coming back to that ancient Chinese proverb that's, I guess, an insult. It comes like, may you live in interesting times.
Yeah, no, I think I'm about done with interesting times. I would actually like to go back to boring if possible.
I would gladly take boring at this point. This, with everything that's going on this year and hell, even last year, it's... But 2020 has already been a roller coaster. This year has been the longest decade of my life.
Absolutely. It's funny how, you know, unfortunately, my year did not start off in the greatest place, obviously, mentally, emotionally, and in terms of, like, my family situation. And it seems like each month has been a, hold my beer kind of month. At this point, I am terrified of looking at what April may hold because I don't know, man. I don't know. I really don't know where we go from here. I'm hoping that, for those who are probably listening now, either for the first time because you've been quarantined for about 2 weeks and are running out of things to listen to, welcome. For everyone who's followed along, for the amount of time we've been doing this podcast, thanks for joining us again. Obviously, you know, the elephant in the room here is all these mandatory quarantines that are happening. I know they're not necessarily calling them mandatory quarantines, but when you essentially shut down all non-essential business, you're essentially telling people, stay the fuck home. So... this is actually the first week that my place of work has shut down, and I am currently working from home. It's an experience, especially since it's been a while since I've been able to work from home full time. I have my wife who's gracious enough to allow me to be her coworker in these times. It's always kind of weird when you're kind of flying solo for so long and then suddenly, boom, here comes something to kind of disrupt your flow. And I fully get that I am super, super fortunate to be able to say that I am able to work from home. I know many places that's just not the case. Paul, your situation is a little bit different. It's actually, essentially... You work for an essential business. What's that like these days?
It's just been insane. Like we've saw it. Everybody's seen the memes and everybody's seen all the news articles about the hoarding of toilet papers, the hoarding of essential goods. And I've been one of the people on the front lines of that since I'm a manager at Walmart, of all places.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned, people making, essentially like store runs to like take everything out, short of the shelves. Have you experienced any of that craziness at your store, or has it been kind of kept in check, or what's going on?
At my store, it's just been crazy. It hasn't been so much hoarding. It's just been running out of everything just because people are buying so much of it. My store has done a fantastic job doing everything. It's doing our best to keep up with customer demand. It's just impossible. I work on the general merchandise side of the store, but I've went over to help in grocery a few times, and every time I have, it's just been a madhouse. One time I went over there and we were literally completely out of pasta. Like,
wow.
No pasta on the shelves at all. It was crazy.
Yeah, no, that's nuts. It's something that I have seen here in local supermarkets. I know about last week, I want to say about last week, Wednesday or so, my wife and I tried to make a grocery store run in the evening. And you know, the local supermarket, a food town, or what they call a super food town, which is, I guess, one of the bigger ones. All the entire pasta aisle looked like it got decimated. You know, like I don't know how to quite put it into words, but there was like one broken, sad jar of like, you know, Emeril Agassi's pasta sauce that was left on the shelf. And like, that was it. Everything else was completely wiped out.
But you was talking about working from home. Are you not always able to work from home? I thought your job was able to, I just thought you always could work from home. Is that not what your company does?
No, unfortunately. So, I do a lot of work, in and out of the office. So I do go to a lot of events on behalf of my company. And I go essentially representing them, at industry events at different, government events as well. But for the most part, my job is very old school in the sense that we are tied to our desks, right? So everyone's accustomed to, you know, clocking in at a certain time, coming to the office. And there's some benefits with that because it is one of the few places where I've been able to, like, pretty safely say I have a start time and an end time. But this has been very, very strange for everyone. So, as I mentioned, we're recording on a Tuesday night, and this is the second full day of full remote work. Now, not everyone can work remotely because, you know, I essentially work for a trade school. And, you know, obviously that means that in order to have a school, you need students. And the governor of New York issued a mandatory shutdown of all non-essential businesses as of Sunday night at 8 p.m. So since Sunday, 8 p.m., you know, anything that doesn't need to be open hasn't been. And, you know, that includes a lot of bars. Although, you know, they made a provision where you can still have takeout in the city. The reality is that most businesses around here either can't or won't sustain that type of business. So they've either furloughed or just straight up laid off employees. So, you know, like it's really weird because there are fewer people on the streets, but at the same time, I don't feel not nearly as few as there should be. But going back to the work from home part, I've been working from home off and on, you know, for about the better part of 2 years. Most of it being tied to an office. So I've been kind of helping everyone kind of manage and figure out like what are some of the best tools to use in that situation. But the reality is that I've become kind of accustomed to being able to come into the office and have everything there and not worry about it. And now it's just like, okay, no, we've got to go back to this more independent, more remote based work. It is what it is, I suppose. But you know, my job continues, and hopefully we can, you know, find ourselves in a situation where we can take some of the people who are forced to either reduce hours or not come in at all to find something for them to do so that they can obviously continue making a living. But that is the challenge at the moment, and trying to figure out the right way to get everyone caught up in a very, very short amount of time.
This is, even after all this is over, it's going to be a long time before things return to any semblance of normalcy. And to some degree, I hope they never return to exactly the way they were, because it's really illustrated a lot of the problems we have in the U.S.
Without a doubt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But how so many people are just one paycheck away from complete poverty. How so many small businesses are literally hanging by a thread. Like, mm-hmm. I've seen more class consciousness above with the working class than I've ever seen in my entire life this past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Even Britney Spears.
I think, yeah, it's nuts because, you know, you just last week, the big topic that everyone was talking about, well, it wasn't even so much a topic, it was more like a demand, right? Just a week ago, everyone has gone from, you know, I don't want to pay for poor people's insurance to, hey, give me $1,000 because I need it.
Yes, and exactly.
So, you know, it's amazing to see how quickly people adopt socialist ideology when they're in need of a hand.
I don't need it, but I'm not going to lie that if we do get that extra $1,200, that will be nice.
I'm going to say that, you know, I may not need it, but that extra $1,200 will actually help us catch up on some things. So, like, I had to defer a loan payment because the reality was, you know, we had no idea what supplies, like basic supplies, were going to cost us, right? So we did do – so we typically buy in bulk just because it's more economical for us. We're able to kind of manage that a little bit better. But, you know, we had to go for groceries. And, you know, there was a store who, you know, who jacked up the prices on things like tissues and Lysol disinfectant spray. You know, like, and, you know, we're talking about like maybe 300, 400% markups.
Holy crap.
So, yeah, it was no joke. So, you know, we bought an expensive can of Lysol about 3 weeks, I would say 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, just before like things really got out of hand. And we paid, you know, about $5, $6 for it. Because it's a small hardware store in the neighborhood, and you know, we weren't gonna go make a trip to Target or Costco or BJ's or anything like that. And it was just like, all right, you know, just take the loss. It's just a, you know, it's a couple bucks more than what we'd normally pay. And we went back a week later to find out that that same can of Lysol was now $18.
Oh, holy hell.
Yeah. So, and honestly, the prices were going up, and it was just like, you know, I don't know. Like, to me, it's clearly like this was someone who was price gouging, because it's the same cans that were there a week ago. You just, you know, are keeping one or two on the shelf and telling people how many you don't have. So, you know, I've seen where things get bad. And so, you know, like, we're fortunate enough where we could, you know, essentially put off one payment and be able to be good versus people who don't even have that option.
Yeah, my wife's, or I guess she was my mother-in-law, is a owner of a hair salon that's been closed now for a couple of weeks. And it's... Yeah, she's terrified she won't even be able to keep it because she's owned it for like 21 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's coming up. She's not even sure if this goes on much longer, how she ever made her continue to make rent payments because there's no clients.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're at my current job. So we're in we service the construction industry, and we've been – well, not we, but the company's been in business for the better part of 20 years. The problem is that now rents are so ridiculous that, you know, being unable to essentially like operate for any extended period of time means that you risk having to shut down simply because you can't afford to pay rent. You know, now, I'm not going to say that that's an excuse to put people at risk because, you know, I don't know if you heard the news this afternoon. You know, the orange gremlin that's occupying the White House currently says that he wants everybody to go back to normal by Easter. You know, I don't know what bizarre world this motherfucker lives in, but the fact is that That's, please don't do that. If you're listening to us, like, stay home. If you don't have to be outside, just stay home. There's no need to be outside. There's nothing out there.
Well, this is really unprecedented for the U.S. The last time we had something really like this was in 1918, and that was the Spanish flu. And the world wasn't anything like it is now then.
I mean, for starters, it's just like, you know, I think there are more people living in Brooklyn right now than there were in the entire city in 1918. You know,
probably, and I can't tell you what's happened to Atlanta since 1918.
Like, right, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we have to be mindful that even if you are not sick, chances are that you're probably going to get someone very sick. You know, it can't be stressed enough. There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. You know, I assure you, Jay-Z and Beyonce do not have the cure. So please stop saying things like this.
Wait, is that actually a thing?
Yeah, that's actually a thing.
I didn't even heard that one. I don't... What?
Oh, yeah, no, everything from the National Guard is occupying Chicago to Jay-Z and Beyonce have the cure for, and it's not, and it changes. So, like, you know, it's insert famous celebrity has the cure. So, you know, but, you know, one of the, go ahead.
Conspiracy theories never make sense to me, but they always kind of do because we like to, humanity likes to grasp that there's something in control. Like, if we're not good at grasping that, sometimes everything just sucks. We like to think that, oh, these evil people are masterminding everything.
That
brings us more comfort than thinking, hey, this is just shitty, and it's just that the way it is.
Yeah, I think it's easier for all of us, you know, myself included, to... to be able to point to something, you know, like this doesn't work because X is a factor. So, you know, in the case of the coronavirus, I would love to say that it's because Jay-Z and Beyonce are, you know, filling a pyramid somewhere with a bunch of billionaires.
Yes. And they're all secretly lizard people.
They're all secretly lizard people. You know, that being said, like, social media is notorious for getting misinformation out to the public and, you know, and pardon the pun, but have these things go viral. And, you know, it's good to see that there are some companies, you know, some major tech companies that are basically kind of pumping the brakes and letting people know it's like, hey, no, don't. You know, don't go looking at your cousin's Facebook posts as legitimate news. Instead, check out the CDC's, you know, official COVID-19, you know, landing page. So last week there was an article on Silicon Valley's response to trying to mitigate essentially disinformation around the coronavirus. And I was happy to see that you had Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Reddit, Twitter, and YouTube, you know, not just put their names behind a statement saying, hey, you know, we know that getting information out is important, but we want to also make sure that people get real information. And I don't know if you've noticed, but lately when you open up any of these apps or when you go to many of these homepages, the first thing you see at the very top is this, you know, if you want to know about COVID-19, check the CDC's website. Like, have you come across any of that?
I've came across that a lot. I use Reddit and Facebook and Twitter a lot, and they have all been good, actually surprisingly good arbiters of the information. Facebook has surprisingly robust resources regarding everything, and so does Reddit. Even the coronavirus subreddit on Reddit that's, I guess, has Reddit's seal of approval is a great place for information.
Yeah, it, you know, I've been, you know, like, don't get me wrong, we beat up a lot of these companies on a regular basis. You can go back and check just about any of the last podcast episodes we've done in the last year. And, you know, we take them to task. Why? Because they essentially kind of drag their feet and they hem and haw about, you know, what their stance is. They try to use this whole, we're platforms, we're not networks, you know, but this is one of those situations where I'm glad that they're behaving like adults. You know, it's like there is a very real danger in giving people incorrect information. So I'm just very happy to see that, you know, these companies have stepped up to the plate and said, hey, we're not going to be a part of the misinformation. Now, if they could only do something about not making money from it, then, you know, I might have to give them a half-hearted apology.
I don't think we owe them an apology. They still suck. They're just doing something right this one time. They're doing the bare minimum.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. You will not hear me argue that at all. You know, again, it's one of those things where, unfortunately, this, you know, this thing has impacted, you know, everyone's life. There's not a single, you know, I can't think of a single part of our, a facet of our lives where this COVID-19 pandemic hasn't either put it on hold or flat out upended. You know, were you planning on going on vacation this year, Paul?
We were actually considering a Disney trip this October, and the fact that Disney's closed until whenever this is over, maybe May. I don't know, because that's going to really compress everybody's holiday season this year. It's going to be a friggin' madhouse in October.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it's going to be fun for anyone, especially like if they've made any kind of plans within the next like couple of weeks, but definitely over the summer. You know, I've heard of there's a daily deal site for flights that I've signed up for. And, you know, they're flat out saying anything that you purchase now will not, you know, the earliest dates that they would have would be the end of July. So, you know, so that pretty much takes care of the airline industry. And it looks like, you know, not just hotels and airlines are being affected by this, but also it looks like Airbnb is about to like implode.
I am not sad to see Airbnb go, though.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir here. But, you know, you found this story, and I'm really interested about it. So could you just, like, break down what it is that happened with Airbnb?
Okay, the thing with Airbnb is Airbnb kind of started as a way to lease out your extra rooms or lease out a rental property you may own, and kind of just, hey, make a little extra money. But people being people and people trying to hustle, they started trolling Zillow and Trulia and all those places for rental properties cheap and just snatching them all up and furnishing them cheaply with IKEA shit and just leasing them out on Airbnb to cover the rent. Now nobody's going to even Atlanta or New York or Seattle, what have you, and renting out these Airbnb places. So you have these Airbnb hoarders, I really don't know what else you would call them, who are sitting on potentially 50, hundreds of properties who won't be able to cover their rents.
Wow. Wow. So basically you had a group of people who were trying to game the system, basically taking up these super overpriced leases and then running questionable Airbnb rentals from them.
That's exactly what was happening. It's kind of shady. It was super shady, and I would almost feel bad for Airbnb because they're going to lose so much money on this if they want just such a shit company.
Yeah, like, you know, we talked about how in the past we talked about how Airbnb is skirting a bunch of I guess good faith regulation that's been trying to catch up with the explosion of essentially a world where everything is as a service. You know, and I really hate even using that term, but that's essentially what we're talking about, right? Like, even though we're talking about hotel rentals, and essentially people look at things like Airbnb as a hotel as a service, not an actual hotel, but something that you can pull up on an app and have within a matter of minutes, and never really think about, you know, are they employing people? Are they paying their taxes? Are you paying the proper taxes, and so on? So, you know, I think we're going to see at the end of the coronavirus, especially for the world of tech, is a serious, you know, correction, right? So, like, for the longest, you had, tech companies that basically said, you know, screw your rules and screw your regulation. It doesn't apply to us because we're special. I think that what's going to happen is that people have kind of realized that the, you know, the libertarian bullshit of we don't need government if we want to be successful, I think that's pretty much pissed in the wind at this point. Because you're looking around, and really what everyone wants is they want someone in government to have an answer, even if it's not necessarily the answer they want to hear. You know, being in New York, I can tell you that a month ago, everybody was trashing Governor Cuomo. But, you know, the way he stepped up and been a very honest, direct, and even keeled leader in all of this mess, like, he's gained so many brownie points from you know, New York City constituents, but I think New York State as well.
Well, like, especially, you know, he especially has today. He's even gained some nice respect today with the way he's been so blunt talking to the federal government. I don't even want to limit it to just Trump. So many of the conservatives in office today have just kind of been awful, even more so than normal.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we talked about, like, there's a lack of adults in the room. I'm happy to say that the New York State governor is definitely one of those last remaining adults in the room. And that's exactly, you know, what we need. It's just like, you know, your elected official shouldn't be necessarily someone that you're going to have a drink with. You know, them being able to clap back on Twitter might be funny, but it doesn't really, you know, mean leadership. And I really hope that we as a society have kind of learned our lesson. It's just like, you know, we've poked the bear far enough, and, you know, said, oh, we don't need government. We don't need rules and regulations because it doesn't fall in line with me making a quick buck. I'm hopeful that at the end of this, probably a year from now, we start looking at these things and saying, you know what? If you're an essential worker in the midst of a crisis, then you probably should be getting paid a whole lot fucking more than what you're getting paid. I know I have friends with kids, and, you know, now their kids have been out of school for only a full week. And this is the first time, this is the second day of e-learning. And I know parents are ready to, like, sell their kids. Like, if they could trade their kids for toilet paper at this point, they probably would. And it goes to show you that teachers are sorely underpaid. Like, there is no two ways about it. If you have people who are sitting there ready to kill their own kids, just keep in mind that you ship them off to someone else to handle 30 of them at one time.
Teachers are remarkable. And I hate this kind of battle we have amongst the lower wages. Like, anytime Walmart employees or other retail employees are like, hey, we deserve more. EMTs and things like that are like, that's more than we make. instead of being like, hey, we should get a raise too. So I'm hoping this raises some class consciousness, because I've seen a lot less of that here lately.
Oh yeah, no, without a doubt. Like, look, honestly, like we have to really start. This is an opportunity to, I guess, like in my mind, this is an opportunity to kind of throw away everything that we've known and that we've kind of accepted and said, oh, well, you know, this is how it is, and replace it with the way things, you know, to something that would be more equitable. You know, let's be real. You know, the last time we got a chance to talk, we did talk about, you know, the Democratic primaries, and we were talking about, unfortunately, we both were Team Warren, and that doesn't seem to be panning out so well. But in all actuality, you know, what are the things that everyone said were way too leftist? Universal basic income, paid family leave, paid sick time, and an increase to the minimum wage. Like 3 weeks ago, if you were talking about these points, you would be told that this country isn't ready for socialist ideas and that we believe in capitalism. But, you know, again, just this week, people are asking for rent freezes. People who have mortgages, at least in New York State, there's a 90-day mortgage freeze, you know. And that's good, you know, but there needs to be more, like, you know, more people in New York City rent than they own homes or have mortgages. Like, you know, we need to start thinking about what does a rent freeze look like? Should people get, you know, a minimum of $1,000? But why should it stop because there's no COVID-19 pandemic? You know, why shouldn't we have conversations about universal basic income? Earlier today, I think I heard... I read a tweet, you know, that basically they were trying to admonish people who were looking for universal basic income with this idea of, well, think about how you would feel if you were 60 years old, 60 plus, and were about to retire and then see your entire life savings tanked because your 401k is tied to the market. You know, my response is very simply, your retirement and livelihood after you've worked for 50 some odd years should not be a gamble. It should be a guarantee. It's just like you're paying into a system. The system should be able to take care of you.
Exactly. I haven't even looked at my 401k here lately, and I really don't want to.
Don't. It's not worth it. Like, honestly, if you have a 401k and if you're under the age of 50, don't look at it. Don't look at your 401k, you know, continue doing what you're going to do, because the reality is that eventually things will correct and bounce back. Maybe you won't get, you know, maybe you won't have that one or two, like, you know, companies in your portfolio that were at, you know, $1,000 when they really should be at, I don't know, 100, you know, like that sucks because you're going to, you know, your quote unquote net worth will drop. But you're at the same time, you're buying at the lower price. So I guess it kind of balances out in the long run. You know, and yes, unfortunately, if you are 50 plus, I think about my mom, I think about my dad, and I realize that, you know, they don't really have pensions. They have 401ks. And if they were to retire in the next year or two, they probably can't, you know, and that is a failing of our system, not a failing on individuals.
So you being in a quarantine for the first time and everything, unable to leave the house, how are you really passing the time?
So for me, it's been watching lots of bad movies on cable, mostly because I'm at a point where I really don't want to think about things. I don't want to think about which movie to watch or what show to watch. I started picking up Queen Sono on Netflix. It's phenomenal. If you haven't seen it, absolutely phenomenal. But also, I started gaming again. Like, I've picked up Street Fighter again. It's like, it's the thing I always go back to. It's kind of like my comfort zone in terms of getting back into games. What have you been looking into?
I've been playing Doom Eternal. That game is insane, and it's hard, and I love it.
Really? It's on my buy list. I just haven't had a chance to pick it up. How do you like it? Well, obviously you love it, but
did you play Doom 2016?
Yeah, that was the reboot of it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a sequel, not a reboot, but yeah, because it was.
That was a sequel. Okay. Well. Yeah. Good. Yeah. 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 I do have it.
Okay. But it's this basically the same game, but they dialed it up even more. It's even more fast paced, and they added a lot more verticality elements. And it's fun and it works, but it's a lot more difficult. I think I've died more in the first three stages of this game than I did my entire playthrough of Doom 2016.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. So it kind of brings back does it reward you for exploring? I guess that's my question.
It really does. And it makes sure it doesn't allow you to rest on your laurels at all. It makes sure you use everything at your disposal.
Okay. All right. No, that's kind of cool because I remember the reason why I enjoyed the 2016 version of Doom was because it reminded me so much of the original DOS-based game, I guess. You know, you had to go through these mazes. You had to explore if you wanted to, you know, get the necessary power-ups and, you know, basically move through the game. So it was one of the things that I did love about the game. I'm happy to hear that it's similar, but with a higher, I guess you need to pay attention and you can't, slack off.
And also if we do get that money from the government, I never assume anything's done until it's done, but I'm also considering getting a Switch where my wife and I can play Animal Crossing.
Yeah. So it's funny, right now, I think everyone is looking for a way to just kind of connect with people. It's funny, we all want to be alone together. We don't want to necessarily be socially isolating, but at the same time, some of us are more than happy to have an excuse to not leave the house. And I think you got games like Animal Crossing, from my understanding, have a really good co-op style gameplay to it. Another one, another game that I got into recently was Grand Theft Auto 5 because of the online component of it.
I didn't know it had an online component. I've never played any of the Grand Theft Auto games.
Oh, yeah. Did you play Red Dead Redemption?
I did not. I didn't play it either.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Just not your thing.
Some games are just too big for me, and I can't get into them because of that.
Yeah, makes sense.
There's too much to do.
Yeah, now we got nothing but time, so it's just I might just pick up Final Fantasy.
Don't do that. Save yourself, sir.
So gaming has been a big thing. I don't know. It's one of those things where I see people, kind of turning to things like Twitch and Discord to kind of game, but more so for the social aspect of it. So, I think that's a net plus.
I'm just not. I'm just not ready to see I've kind of accepted the fact that almost everybody is going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really scared for some people I know and everything. Do you have anyone close to you that you're worried if things get bad?
Yeah, actually I'm kind of staying away from my parents at this point because I've been dealing with this. It started off as a cough, because of my allergies, but it hasn't gone away. So I'm kind of keeping to myself. I don't want to get my folks sick. I'm trying to even keep away as much as I can from my wife because I don't want her to get sick.
So. Everybody just does need to stay home. And I've been really disappointed in my state's leadership in regards to that front. He's left so much up to the local municipalities and everything instead of just issuing a state order.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunate. That's very unfortunate because, you know, right now, like I said, like the biggest thing that people need is leadership, you know, and that means different things at different, you know, different levels. But ultimately, you know, we're looking for someone not to tell us what to do, but to kind of have an idea of what we should be doing. By the way, before I get off topic and before I forget, I just want to say a big fuck you to all those kids in spring break. And for the news people out there that are covering it, those are not millennials. Millennials have crushing debt and bad backs at this point because we're all over 30. And we haven't had spring break in a minimum of 15 years. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, that's, I don't understand how people can be so selfish. Like, and anybody talking about how people should return to work, like, now for the economy's sake, I kind of just want them to volunteer, like, to get it and see what happens.
Yeah, it's just, you know what? Like, no, seriously, even with that, as much as I want to say put them to work, I'd rather people just be okay with not having to buy 30, you know, bundles of 40 rolls of toilet paper, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, like, just stay home. Just stay home, goddammit.
Stay home. I wish I could stay home, but I can't, so. I'm just hoping everybody that can with that $1,200 we receive, again, assuming we receive it, does what they can to support local small businesses once they open. I could care jack about a lot of these corporations. They will survive regardless. Walmart, Chili's, what have you, they ain't going anywhere. But these mom and pop businesses that have been here 15 years, they deserve your money. They deserve your income.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Support your local small business. You know, once, you know, we are going to get through this. So make no mistake. We're not going to be sequestered in our homes forever. At worst, we're looking at maybe a month's time from now. Things will begin to kind of slowly but surely get back to normal. But when they get back to normal, just, you know, I hope we learn something from all of this. I hope we learn to, you know, treat each other a little bit kinder and to treat each other with a little more respect. And to just remember how it felt when you were uncertain of, you know, what the next thing was going to be, you know, whether that next thing was you were unsure if you would have a job, if you were unsure you were going to make rent, whatever those things are, you know, I hope you hold on to that. And the next time you hear people talk about raising the minimum wage or wanting paid sick leave, that you don't look down on it and say, you know, what gives you the right, or, you know, why should you get something that they got? I hope we learn to look at this as we need to take care of those in a position who are unable to really take care of themselves. Cause, you know, unfortunately, you know, the people who are most vulnerable right now need all our help, and, you know, we got to do something. We got to step up.
Anything else we need to add before we say goodbye to our listeners?
No. I guess I don't know. Like, I got nothing tonight, Paul. Follow us on. Go ahead.
This is a downer episode, though. Like, dang.
Yeah, it got dark, man.
It did.
That last part may not make it in, but, you know, for now, I'm just going to say, look, man, we're all in this together. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time. And you know what? If you guys are playing video games somewhere, I just kind of want to watch. And if you guys want to see me be very bad at video games, let me know. Drop us a line. I'll be happy to figure something out, and we can all just kind of congregate at some point or another.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm down for it. And Paul, as always, you know, if we can get our schedules to align, you're always, you know, always welcome to jump in.
Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Again, make sure to follow us on social media. We're at The Noisecast on Instagram, at Noisecast on Facebook and Twitter. And you can always find me at Al_WRITE. So that's Al_Wright. And Paul, where can they find you at?
I'm at Cameras Paul on Twitter.
Awesome. So, guys, thank you for joining us this evening. Check in the next week or so for another episode. That one will be a solo episode with featuring an interview with the folks from Drobo. So be sure to check that out. We'll be looking to hear some feedback. Make sure you like and subscribe. Let people know where to find us. And also thank you for helping us get through this quarantine time. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.